Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Off with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can keep an eye out for them over there then. But you should just kind of swing by there and check out, see what's going on. You don't never just know what's going to pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link and follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that way over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. We still don't understand why Mr. Fantasy doesn't, but Dan and I will greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, so Dan and I had a long weekend of drafting. We had a Friday night draft that went a little quicker than normal. Our Saturday night auction league draft, though, did not. And then Sunday, Dan helped fill out my buddy's league. He was got a 12-team league on the Mickey Mouse website, and for some reason he was having problems filling it. So Dan jumped in and took in one of those spots. And luckily that draft went really quick. How's your overall thought, Dan? What's your best team and who's going to win what for you and how's it going to go?
Well, all three of them are going to win it all.
So, I
was going to say, in our draft, I was able to at least, between the two teams, land Jose Altuve on one and Clayton Kershaw on the other. So I think those are excellent starts, even though the MLB experts are picking Mike Trout to be the MVP.
Yeah, I saw that already. I saw you posted that. I saw you posted that. I thought that was funny. The season hasn't even started, and he's already won the award. Yeah, well, you know, Friday was really interesting because I was telling you a little bit about my buddy Greg decided to try baseball again with us. You know, normally he's just a football guy, but he has this, believe it or not, Dan, it's a magazine. Now, you think I'm one of these guys who, you know, doesn't do this stuff. Greg uses a magazine. He's used this for years, and he's done very well in football, so he's very loyal to this group. And honestly, I forgot what it's called. He's only showed it to me one time because he doesn't want me to steal it from him. And they started to do baseball this year. So he decided he would give it a shot with their setup. And unbeknownst to me, and of course to Dan, he had the second pick in the Snake League. So he was using the ratings that they had in the book, and while Dan and I were talking on the phone, I think it was Saturday night, I mentioned to him how weird it was that Corey Kluber went second in the Snake League draft. And as it turns out, Dan, it was my buddy Greg, and that's how his magazine had it rated. They had Corey Kluber as the top pitcher and the number two pick overall. So, yeah, he grabbed him at number two. I was like, whoa, hey. And that allowed you to get Altuve at three.
Yeah, well, do you remember, I told you it just completely threw me off because I figured, of course, Trout was going to go one, Altuve is going two, and then I was going to take Kershaw three, regardless of, was it Nolan Arenado was three, and Kershaw was actually six. So, you know, when I didn't really know what to do at that moment, and I was actually at a stoplight. We were, you know, like a block or two away from where we were headed, sitting there going, oh, my God, what do I do? And, you know, I completely offed on Kershaw to take Altuve. I figured this might be my one and only opportunity.
Yeah, I Friday night I got the draft in one of my least favorable spots. I was six. So it's not really the middle where I hate, but it's far enough away to just where I don't enjoy drafting there. It's just those, you know, six to like 12 or whatever are the areas I just hate being stuck in. And sure enough, there I was putzing around at six, and I couldn't get anything going. You know, I would project a guy to come back to me, and he wouldn't get close. And, you know, I'd go searching for a guy, and somebody else would find him before me. And it was just like, man, I'm just not having a good night. So I'm a little concerned with how that team is going to work out. But, you know, we shall see. That's kind of how it goes. But I was telling you, Dan, right before we started, Greg was telling me that he was crossing guys off as they were being picked on his list. And the draft was moving so fast Friday night that he actually had to quit and put the auto pick on because he couldn't keep up. So he would have a guy on his list that was available, and he would go to draft him, and he'd already be gone because he missed the pick. And then the clock would run out on him, and it would auto pick for him anyways. So he said after about five rounds, he just had to give up and put the auto pick on because he just couldn't keep up. Sunday being the auction league, it went much better for him. But yeah, Saturday. But yeah, Friday night, he really struggled and just had to bail. Now since you were doing it mobily, did you have any issues to start with?
No, I mean, I think to be honest, I was used to it taking a little bit longer as far as your picks go. But the other side of it, doing it on my phone, instead of a countdown, they just have a green bar that lights up and progressively gets smaller as you're going to pick. So that actually put me, gave me a little bit more anxiety than a countdown, because at least with a countdown, I don't know, it just seems different. You know the numbers are there, so at least you got 10 seconds, where this one, you really don't know how much time you have, so you better hurry up and make your picks. I don't think I missed one pick in between, eating dinner with a crying baby and then going to a glow-in-the-dark Easter egg hunt. But, that was the end of the draft for those last two or three picks. So, but I do think I managed to get in everybody. I think I missed one pick in the middle somewhere, but...
Yeah, and oddly, Dan, I did find it interesting that Mr. Fantasy's brother, who is actually on vacation with him, was able to join us for the Friday draft, but Mr. Fantasy was not. So I don't understand how that one happened, considering they're in the exact same place and they're doing the exact same thing. But if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, right? So, just kind of how those things work out. We move along to Saturday. It's auction draft time, and I had much better luck here. The draft did go over 5 hours. Luckily, the only people who stayed over 5 hours were the guys who weren't in the draft room. And those are also probably the guys who won't be playing next year, because they probably won't change their lineups or, do anything with their teams. I like that draft a lot better, Dan. It worked out, oddly, normally it's the other way around for me, but this year I'm much happier with the way my auction team came out. I did overpay a little for Anthony Rizzo because I wanted to drop him on you and you stopped bidding. But I still think I'll be okay there with that. Somehow I ended up, for the first time I think in ever, I ended up with three Cubs because I really wanted Chris Bryant. You dumped Anthony Rizzo on me, and then I threw like a $2 bid on Pedro Strop, and it went through. So I was like, oh, okay. I ended up with three Cubs, which is a first for me. Normally I don't end up with any, because we're in a Chicago-based league, and guys will throw money hand over fist at him. And that's like, I was shocked that Strope went to, I saw somebody put him up, and I saw him not letting him go through for a buck this early. So yeah, I threw that second dollar on him, and nobody else wanted him. I was like, okay, I guess I got a setup guy. He was like the first pitcher I ended up with, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, I guess we'll have to wait till the season ends, but the 13 or 14 I paid for Kyle Schwarber will either be, you know, I think the average was $4, will either be overpaid, but I still think it wasn't too much money, or it'll be the complete steal of the league. So, you know, it's all on him what he decides, how he determines my outcome. But Big Jack, and I forgot about this one. Even when we did the draft, I saw it yesterday morning when I was looking at my team, because obviously we have no clue when the auction draft ended. But
yeah,
did you know I landed Felix Hernandez for like $3 or $4?
Yes. So, and they did announce that he was going to get the opening start. So
I mean, you know, for whoever let him go through to me for $3 or $4, I think it's kind of their loss.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, as long as he stays healthy, you know, which is the concern you have with everybody, you know.
Yeah.
You know, what I noticed in the auction league this year, Dan, was we must have either a lot of returning guys or just a lot of guys who actually use strategy this year, because I noticed the bigger name guys, unless it was an auto nominate, like the guys who weren't at the draft, really took a long time for the star players to get up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like people kept staying away from nominating them, like they were hoping to get guys to fill positions and spend money. And like, I had a strategy going in where, you know, I wanted to nominate the, you know, the Madison Bumgarteners, the Justin Turners, you know, the Irvin Santanas, and then Daniel Murphy. I wanted guys to have to think and make decisions really early on what they were going to spend on these guys, who are all going to be out probably minimum the first entire month of the season, if not more. So I kind of went that route, and I was kind of like, well, let's force some people to pay attention here. Who knows if it worked or not. I mean, we'll have to see how these guys turn out. But what were you thinking going in? Were you, you know, I know some guys run positions and some guys just run, you know, like I rarely nominate a guy I want early in an auction league. What kind of strategy did you use coming in?
Well, first of all, when it came to Justin Turner, it's because of you I drafted him, because all I could hear was, you're going to let Justin Turner just sit there, even though he's hurt? You'll get him a month later. So,
sorry.
You know, I don't think it went too high. Otherwise, I wouldn't have got him. But yeah, you were pretty much my determining factor in why I kept bidding on him and did land him. So thank you. The real thank you or a sarcastic one, we'll find out later. But you know, I was just trying to nominate guys who I thought were slightly overrated, like Jake Arrieta, which I didn't get a chance to nominate because someone else nominated him for me.
So yeah, and then as Dan and my life moves on, after being up past midnight on Sunday or on Saturday, I had to be up for an 8 a.m. Money League draft with Mr. Fantasy. He hung around for the first, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 picks with us. And then he had to go. Again, he's on vacation. He's camping, I guess, outside of Dollywood or something. He's luxury camping, or I think they call it glamping. Yeah, he's I believe it's called glamping, right? Glamour camping. He's staying in some like luxury cabin with, he told me there's a TV in every room and some kind of hot tub or something, so I don't want to know what the hell's going on there. But yeah, he hung around for a little while with me there, and then he left me in charge. So depending on how the team does, if it's bad, it will be all my fault. So we shall see. But I kind of leaned on him and made sure we got, you know, his guys the first few rounds, so he can't complain too much about it. Yeah, and then last night, you know, Dan, like I mentioned, Dan still helped fill out my buddy's league. And even though Dan and I think we picked like 3 or 4 picks apart, Dan kept taking my freaking guy. So I think we've been drafting together too long, Dan, because you were all over guys. I was like, oh, yeah, this guy will get back to me. I can wait on him. It comes back down, and Dan takes him. I'm like, son of a. That's why I took Fernando Rodney late, because I knew he was your guy. I was like, damn it, I'm taking one of Dan's guys. How did you like ESPN compared to Yahoo?
Did it on my phone again, so I like the Yahoo better, but I guess that's just because I'm used to it. So it's different because I, you know, obviously I didn't have time to look at this league, so I really didn't know who or what I was drafting for.
Yeah.
You know, especially when it came down to pitchers, because I drafted one relief pitcher, but I drafted mostly starters because I didn't know if relief was coming into play. And that was one thing I didn't like about ESPN, was that you couldn't just look at the league setting, or I couldn't find them quick enough. You know, so that was the only thing I didn't like, was that I couldn't actually go to something on the app that says, your league is, these are your categories. You know, and that was the other thing. There was a lot of positions to fill, you know, and a lot less bench players. So to me, I think it's, I don't know, it'll be interesting, but I feel like there's going to be a lot of days where you're going to miss out on points because not everyone's going to play, and you have so many positions to fill.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how that league works, if it's a daily or a weekly. I'll have to go back in and look. You know, like ours obviously are dailies. But, like, the Money League is a weekly. You set your lineup, and that's it for the week. And I don't remember how this one works, so.
Well, that, I've never been in a 12-team league, so the drafting was a little quick for me. I was not prepared for that portion of it. Because I was kind of like, whoa, I just drafted again. So.
Well, what ended up happening to me in that league is I had two auto-pick guys right in front of me. And, you know, like in the Yahoo League, they get a 10-second countdown before they assign them a player. Boy, man, in the ESPN League, as soon as it comes up, they draft a guy. And it was like, whoa, hey, wait, I'm up. Hang on. So, like, you know, good thing I was, you know, wasn't sleeping at the switch here.
Well, that makes more sense now that you mentioned that, because I think there was, after a time or somewhere in there was an auto pick before me. And, you know, I'm expecting to just wait, and I did turn my volume on, so I got the ESPN thunder every time it was my draft, you know, but I would have liked for them to have kept that on in the background, because I closed my screen off for a minute, and then I think I missed like a couple rounds.
Yeah, now what I did like about the ESPN league is, you know, like in Yahoo, when a guy leaves the draft, you're stuck. If he doesn't put his auto pick on, you have to just watch the clock wind down. In the ESPN league, I believe I noticed last night, if you miss two draft picks in a row, if the clock ran out on you twice in a row, it automatically put you on auto pick. So, you know, we didn't have to sit there and wait. And that was one of the other things that caught me by surprise, is the guys were picking around me early, and then all of a sudden they were both gone. And it was like, bam, bam, okay, I'm up. I very much like that feature. I wish that was something Yahoo would adopt, because, you know, that really stretches out. Even though, you know, we got lucky this year and the Snake League went much faster than normal, you know, there's a lot of years where guys come in, they get the players they want, and they go away, you know, and it's a 20-team league, and we've got 10 guys drafted, and the clock's running down on the other 10 guys. So, you know, I wish they would, you know, I wish they would do something like that.
Well, you know, it's funny, because I didn't really get into it until, 2012 or 13. And at that time, the Snake League took, like, three hours, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the auction was, I think, we capped it at 6-plus hours.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm thinking now we're getting a few more returning players in the leagues, and I think that's helping it to make it go faster. You know, and I also think your idea of kind of weeding out the bottom teams to get guys in who are playing has helped greatly. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, we did have guys that, you know, were friends of the podcast who in turn started their own podcast and then quit returning our calls that were still drafting in our league. And but weren't actually, you know, they weren't actually saying yes to joining the league again. So I thought that was weird. But, you know, yeah, you're right. I think it did help out a lot. You know, like you mentioned, I think with the auction draft, we started off with only two guys auto-picking. And, of course, as the time went on, some guys dropped off here and there. But, you know, we pretty much out of 20 teams had 18 guys there almost the entire time. And I will throw out there, I was surprised and amazed that you were done way before I was. Usually you're out there with the auto-pickers. You know, I'm done, and I usually have, like, seven guys. So
yeah, well, you know, and that's what, you know, that also helped, I think, in the Snake League is, you know, we had, you know, we started out, I think we started out with 16 out of the 20 teams online and ready to draft. And then, of course, it dwindles as you go. But even, like, this year, it didn't go too much. I think it was only a couple guys who gave up. You know, Greg gave up. And I think it may have only been one or two other guys. So we had, you know, over 50% of the league stay through the whole thing. You know, and then some guys, I always find it odd when guys kind of come and go. Like a guy will leave, and then you won't see him for five or six rounds, and then he'll come back on. And it's kind of like, okay, you know, do you get lost? Do you fall asleep? What happened? But, yeah, you know, so, yeah, all, you know, all in all, you know, how much, you know, at least the Friday draft was much faster. Saturday there. You know, the auction league, you're just kind of stuck. I don't know if we can make it go any quicker.
No, I mean, I think it's not the way it is. You know, the thing I liked was the clock was quicker. So, you know, you couldn't think too much about, you know, do I want this guy? Do I want this guy? You had to bid where you weren't getting them.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, I mean, I already anticipate the auction draft being longest, and I think that's why you do it on Saturday night, because we both know it's going to take a while.
Yeah. You know, it would be great. It's one of those things where I kind of wish we could start it at 6 o'clock instead of 7, but six just seems to be a little too early for people. And you know, it just hasn't worked out. Maybe it's one of those things, you know, we'll see if maybe I can sneak in like 6:45 or something and, you know, try to save us 15 minutes. You know, just small things like that. But
Actually, it was at 6:45. The Friday night was at 7.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was. Yeah, so maybe next year I'll try to sneak in at 6:30 and see if that helps us a little. You know, but yeah, I don't want to go too early because, you know, I know it kind of messes with people's day. So, but yeah, since, you know, we did all this drafting, Dan, after we were done, I was futzing around today and I found the 2018 Fantasy Baseball Busts, the all-overrated team. So you ready for the all-overrated team? Because this was actually the catcher they have was a guy I was actually targeting in the ESPN league, and you took him the round I was going to take him. The overrated catcher this year, they say, is Jonathan Lucroy. So how are you feeling about that, since I know you drafted him in at least one league last night?
Yeah. I needed a catcher.
Yeah, that's how I was. I needed a catcher. So, you know, just one of those things. Then they moved to first base, and they even admit this is a little cheating because this guy plays multiple positions. And I actually wanted him in the Money League yesterday, and Mr. Fantasy told me no. They say Matt Carpenter is the first base bust of the year. I don't know. You know, he qualifies at first, second, and third. You know, he's still he's a 25 to 30 home run hitter now that he adjusted his launch angle. He'd be a bust as a first baseman, Dan, but then okay as a second or third baseman, or how does that work out?
I guess so. You know, it seems kind of like, well, you're picking a guy who's not full-time. So, of course, he's going to be a bust.
Yeah. You know, and then they go to second base. And this, Dan, this is definitely a pick because of the way baseball is played today. They have DJ LeMahieu as the second base boss, specifically, Dan, on the fact that he lacks power. I believe he hit 320 last year and scored 90-plus runs. But he only hit 11 home runs last season. So that makes him a bust in today's game.
Well, he, in a fantasy game or the game as a whole.
So in fantasy, that makes him a bust. Now, in our league, you know, obviously he can fill categories you need. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a 300 hitter in your lineup or a guy who scores a boatload of runs. So, you know, you can carry a guy like this in our bigger leagues. But yeah, I'm guessing these are, you know, everything is geared for 10 and 12 teams. So that's where I'm getting this from. But yeah, you know, like they have him ranked number 11 among second basemen. And it's kind of like, well, okay, you know, just because he doesn't hit home runs, you know, is that fair?
I mean, his ranking, I don't really have an issue with, because it's number 11 that's in the top plus 50. And we have to go through it, but of course, Altuve and Brian Dozier are ahead of them. But I think there's a, you know, Robinson Cano. I can go with that number, yeah. But I say he's a complete bust. He's been consistent, so, like you said, but, you know, I think for some of the simpler league, for guys who just want, you know, three categories, one being home runs and I don't know what the other two are, but, yeah. You know, I could see that not being a great pick for somebody.
So, yeah, and then they slide over to third base, and they go with Travis Shaw of the Milwaukee Brewers, basically because they believe last year could have been a fluke. So, and, they do have a lot of guys ahead of them. Adrian Beltre, Kyle Seager, Rafael Devers, Miguel Sano, Mike Moustakas, Jake Lamb, Nicholas Castellano, who qualifies at third, even though he's going to be full-time in right field this year. And then even throw Joey Gallo on here.
Ooh.
Boy, man, I know Gallo's going to hit bombs, but he's probably not going to hit 200. Are you taking Gallo over Shaw, who's going to, you know, Gallo may hit you 45 home runs, but Shaw is probably good for 30 or 35. Doesn't his other numbers kind of equal out and might put him ahead of Gallo for you? Or how are you into the home run guy and you got to have that big, huge Joey Gallo home run number?
I would go with Shaw over Gallo, but, you know, I had the opportunity to draft Shaw, and I just kept looking at him going, I couldn't pull the trigger on him.
And by the way, the guy spelled Moustakas wrong in this article. You would think somebody on the Sporting News website would have a spell check or something, right? So, you know, I don't
spell
make that mistake.
Checked it wrong.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe, who's the proofreader on this, you know?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, like, I've taken, you know, all those other guys above Shaw, with the exception of Gallo. You know, the only thing Gallo had for me was he qualified at three positions. So, I don't know, you know, like, if I kind of missed the boat on third baseman and they all went and Shaw was just kind of like that guy hanging around, I don't think I would be too disappointed if I ended up with him. You know, I mean, even if he only hits 230, if he gives me 30 to 35 bombs and I can get 80 to 90 RBIs out of him, I'm okay with that. It's not like this is going to be my team and they're all going to be busts. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, and just to example my team, we mentioned I landed Turner in the auction draft, and I think that's, I know it had to be the league where I also picked up Evan Longoria, but had Turner been 100% healthy coming into the season, that would have prompted me to draft Shaw. But since Turner was injured, I wanted to go with somebody who number one knew was going to play every day. But I still think even the way Longoria's played over the last couple of years, you know, now that I reevaluate, it might not be the for sure bet that Longoria would even produce better than Shaw. Like, they might be even equal.
Yeah, well, you know, Longoria is probably going to have a much better average. So, then we get the shortstop, and I, Dan, am really hoping that they are wrong here at shortstop, because Mr. Fantasy and I grabbed this guy yesterday, and we thought we got him in a pretty good spot, but and I think you had this guy last year. They have Elvis Andrews as being the shortstop bust this season. They called 20 homers and 88 RBIs a fluke for him last year. How you liking Elvis? Did you end up with Elvis this year? And what do you think? Is he gonna bust out?
No, I opted to go another route. I don't know who I went with at shortstop, but I didn't go with Andrews this year. I think there was a couple guys above and below that different positions I wanted at the time when I saw him. You know, and I don't like the word fluke, you know, because these are guys that are major league ball players. So I don't ever like to use that word. And you know how much I love JT Arrieta. And while I don't think he's going to perform at the level he has in the past, what he did in that time period, I've never referred to as a fluke. Referred to it as a peak, which I think might be similar in Andrew's situation. I don't want to say he peaked, but for me, the reason I kind of opted to go elsewhere was I feel like maybe he leveled off, and I didn't think he would achieve higher numbers than he did last year. So, but like I wouldn't call him a fluke, and I don't think he's going to bust out.
Yeah, if he doesn't get to 20 home runs, I could understand that. He's not a huge power guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's in a really good lineup. So, you know, and he does steal bases. So, you know, that's another plus you're going to get there. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be the bust that they have here. But, all right, we plug into the outfield, and now I know this is a guy, I don't remember which league you got him in, but I definitely remember you ending up with him. And they have Ender and Inciarte as a bust here. Again, it kind of works out for the fact that he put up a career high in home runs and RBIs last year, and they're not quite sure if he can get back to that. So they, you know, they're also wondering if he'll hit 300 again. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's a pretty solid player regardless. But, you know, the more I look at this and the more I go through this, Dan, it seems like they're a little stuck on power numbers.
Well, then it's easy to pick on a guy who's going to play for the Rangers or the Braves, I think. But like you mentioned, the power numbers aren't there. Which you don't look for Inciarte as a power guy. So,
that's not what you're looking for.
No, and that's one of the things that everyone has to realize when it comes to fantasy, especially our leagues, our categories. Yeah, you need your power guys, but you need your guys like Inciarte who are going to get the 300 batting average. I off the top of my head, what is that? 200 hits out of 600 at bats you hope for. In that realm, so to speak. But I think the one thing that will kind of keep him going forward is the fact that being in Atlanta was last year his first year full time. So I don't.
Yeah,
think
first
he's
or second.
Yet.
Yeah.
So I think he's still going to get a go, and especially on a young team like that, when you've got the likes of the Nationals, the Mets, their pitching staff. You know, between those two teams, I don't think a guy like Inciarte is the guy you're going to pitch around. So he's going to get pitched too, especially being at the top of that batting order.
Yeah, and then he finally put somebody on this list that I kind of agree with this one. He plugs in Ian Desmond of the Rockies on this list. He put him in as an outfielder. I know he also qualifies at first base. A lot of issues here with this. You know, the Rockies have just a boatload of outfielders now. You know, Charlie Blackmon is going to play every day. He's the only guy you can guarantee that spot to. So you've got to find at bats for Ian Desmond, Cargo, who they brought back, Gerardo Parra. Then not to mention the two top prospects, David Dahl and Ryan McMahon, who I both think are going to start the year in the minors, but you can't figure they're going to be there, you know, all that long, maybe a month to extend their eligibility like a lot of teams do now. Yeah, I just, you know, maybe Desmond's okay for the first month of the season or maybe two, but man, I really think his playing time is going to get cut and it's going to hurt teams. So that, you know, this is the one guy, you know, I do agree with. Of course, if he does play, you're okay. He'll put up great numbers. You know, it's just the fact that I think you got to kind of watch out. If you own him, you got to watch out and kind of pay attention to, you know, to who's playing and how many at bats he's getting. But yeah, this is, you know, this is one, I think it's the only one on the list that I really agree with so far.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, and I can't look now because my phone wasn't allowing me data while I was on the phone for some reason. But I think I landed him on the snake team. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, and then the next outfielder they go with Gregory Polanco of the Pirates. You know, another guy, you know, he had a rough season last year. He was hurt quite a bit. And the first thing they mention after that is that his power and steals declined, and there's reason to worry about his long-term prospects. Boy, man, I don't know if I could give up on a 26-year-old guy. I mean, I get it was down last year, but like they even mentioned, he was hurt. This is definitely, he's going to be hit or miss. You know, I mean, this could be a deal where if you landed him late in your draft, he could be a huge steal. Or you could get absolutely nothing out of him. I don't think it's going to be one of those things where you're going to be like, oh, yeah, okay, great, he's doing just fine. I think you're either going to get really good value for him or you're going to get absolutely nothing out of him.
Hence the bust.
So, and then they roll into some starting pitching, and this is another one I'm hoping they're wrong about because Mr. Fantasy and I ended up with this guy. They say it's Gio Gonzalez who is going to bust out. You know, he bounced back from 2016 to 2017, and let's see if they give any a lot of sabermetric stuff. You know, his BABIP went from 316 to 258, and they think those numbers go back closer to 300, which would make his ERA and his WHIP numbers also go up. So they're throwing a lot of sabermetrics at the wall here and hoping it sticks. You know, part of the reason Mr. Fantasy and I took Gio when he was hanging around there is he's on the Nationals and they're going to win a lot of games. And there's a good chance that he's going to cash in on a lot of those wins. So, you know, even if his ERA is a little over 3 and he comes in at like 3.5 or 3.7, he's still going to be a fantastic pitcher for you, like, especially if wins count in your league, because I think he's got a chance to rack up quite a few, don't you?
Yeah. What is his slabbit?
Babbitt is batting average
against balls in play. I was just making another one up. Babbitt.
Oh, okay.
Rabbit.
So yeah, rabbit. Yes. Yeah. So you know that kind of fun stuff. But yeah, it's odd that this is the first time they threw sabermetrics in on any of their discussions. So.
Well, you know, not to get totally off topic, but. The reason Mike Trout's going to win the MVP is because he's led in WAR 6 years in a row.
Yes.
Which has never been done before because they just started making it up about 6-7 years ago.
Right.
Anyways.
Looks like they have a lot of starting pitchers for us here, Dan. The next one they go with who's going to bust out, Masahiro Tanaka. Dan, I got to tell you, I think I've seen him on a bust list every year, and it's always because of the same reason. They always state that injury history, and yet he hasn't ever missed a significant amount of time, you know, but every year he's here. Well, you know, this is the year the shoulder gives out because he, you know, he throws, you know, the slider too much. And, you know, and again, like I said, he hasn't missed a big chunk of time, you know, a start here, a start there, you know, everything's okay. Can't you just keep going with this guy, Dan, until he finally breaks down? And then, I mean, is this the year it breaks down? How do we know, Dan? I get it, Dan. You just you know, you're, it's like you're shooting fish in a barrel here. You're just throwing him out there because he's out there every year?
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends on what his WAR is to begin with. But, no, I mean, you know, I wish this kind of list came out before the draft, because this is the kind of stuff that has helped me, and I don't know if I landed him this year, but land Tanaka the last couple of seasons. Because nobody, I got to stay away from him, he's going to be a bust. Well, you know, the other thing with fantasy baseball is you need, you know, like Clayton Kershaw, you know, if Madison Bumgarner was completely healthy, you definitely need those two guys or the likes of them, you know, Justin Verlander, a guy who's going to be a, you know, quote, should be a bust, like Masahiro Tanaka. Well, yeah, but if he gets hurt, there's this magical thing that's on your roster in most leagues, and that's called the DL. So you put him in the DL, and then you find some young kid who's hot for the moment, and you bring him in your team. That's the magic of starting pitching. Starting pitching, I think, is so much easier to kind of deal with than hitting. Granted, because you got the eight positions, and you know, they're not as easy to fill. But starting pitching, I mean, you know, I know there's a lot more lists that you're going to go through, but and I don't know if he'll be on it. But remember Lucas Giolito. Nobody wanted to touch him. All the White Sox fans in our league didn't touch him. I had him. That kid was going, you know, thrown, blown by 7-8 guys a game. Strikeouts. He did phenomenal. And then he had a stretch, you know, a couple of weeks where he did horrible. I dropped him, picked somebody else up, got my, you know, staff, brought Giolito back in. He caught another win before the season ended. And, you know, that's how you got to work it. So I like Tanaka being considered a bust, because then maybe the guys in our league will drop him, and I'll drop one of my lower guys and pick him back up again.
All right. Well, here we go, Dan. Jake Arrieta makes the list as a pitcher who's going to bust out this year. They point out that his ERA was a 3.65, which went up quite high. His walks went up, and his homer spike, while his velocity came down. Now, the concern is now, believe it or not, he's actually pitching in a more homer-friendly park than Wrigley Field. So there's a little bit of concern that he's going to struggle there with Philly. You see him as a bust, or does he kind of go back to the, like, number three starter that I think a lot of people always projected him to be?
That, in essence, consists of the bust, because he's going in as the number one. And I didn't realize Citizens Bank Park was more homer friendly than Wrigley. So if that's the case, I think the Phillies might be in trouble.
Yeah, it's actually smaller than Wrigley.
I didn't realize that. The downside with, you know, the velocity is I think guys can survive with a drop in their velocity. It's just guys aren't taught that anymore. They're not taught how to be a,
yeah,
you know, I was like 5-tool player. Yeah, there's, you know, we never heard that complaint with Kyle Hendricks. He seems to do well. How about location?
Well, yeah, we hear it all the time that he doesn't throw hard enough. So
yeah.
So all right, well, you know, Dan, after, you know, looking at this list, I didn't go through the whole thing before you and I started talking about it, but I'm really guessing this guy doesn't like Brewers, because the next pitcher is Chase Anderson. And then he also has Corey Knebel on this list. We mentioned Travis Shaw earlier. Now we got two Brewer pitchers. Dan, I really wanted Chase Anderson, and he kept going earlier than, you know, I thought. But, you know, again, we get more, you know, more sabermetrics here. You know, his BABIP was 265, and then his FIP was 3.85, and it's 4.3 times FIP last year, suggests that he'll regress, according to this article. Dan, I didn't understand any of that, just so you know.
I don't even know what you said, to be honest.
I was.
Well, and don't forget the SAP and the Dow. That yes, factors into it, too.
Yeah, his ACT score multiplied his score. So it was one of those things where I just thought he was a good pitcher, and I thought he would continue to be a good pitcher, so I wanted him on my team, but apparently I am wrong. Because according to this, he is going to bust.
Well, I mean, you may have been wrong according to the article, but the guys who took him in front of you were thinking the same thing you were.
Yeah.
So I know we've got a lot of Chicago-centric guys and, you know, northern suburb guys, so they know about the Brewers.
Yeah, you know, I can understand wanting to plug Knebel or Knebel or however you want to pronounce it on this list, because as a closer, he does walk a lot of guys, and that can really get you in trouble. Like, the rate they use is for 9 innings. I believe that's actually a stat in our one of our leagues. But as a closer, he walks 4.7 batters per 9 innings. And that, you know, that's a ton. I mean, last year he was able to get himself out of a lot of those spots. But, you know, I mean, you know, you know how that goes, Dan. I mean, from year to year, it's so different, especially with relievers. You know, you got to wonder if maybe he gets in trouble with it this year.
Well, I mean, going up against the Cubs 18 times definitely put you in trouble, and, you know, quite possibly the Cardinals, too.
So, you know, and then the starter I skipped to get the back-to-back Brewers was the other guy here, Dan, the other starter he didn't like, who they think is going to be a bust, is your guy Dylan Bundy. So, and they don't like his home run rate. It's 1.4. They think that's too high. And they're very much afraid that in the division he's pitching in, that it's going to go up.
I mean, I rolled the dice today on him and grabbed him on my team, but I can see for projection that could be the case with him.
And then they wrapped this up, and now I don't know if I can see why they put this guy on the list, but I'm not quite sure if he belongs here. They end the list with Brandon Morrow, who, you know, you and I have kind of questioned all year if he'll be able to handle the workload a closer gets, and that's pretty much exactly what they talk about. You know, they talk about his injury history. They do mention that he was one of the best relievers in baseball last year. But, you know, he's changing roles, and it's going to be a little different. And, you know, we're going to have to see how Joe Maddon handles him, I think, is going to be the key to that. But, you know, it's one of those things where I can see kind of why he's on the list, but I don't know if he belongs here. Are you in that boat, or what do you think?
I mean, it's with anything, it's 50-50. But at the same token, you literally took essentially the guy at the bottom of the closers list. Because, you know, you mentioned new position for him this year. And as far as any of the established closers, he's at the bottom. So he's just kind of the easy way out.
Yeah, it's like you signed the best setup guy. Hey, you're going to close.
Mm-hmm. But I think the Carlos Marmol effect is thought about too much. And I don't think that's the conscious thing that people are, you know, obviously that writers or anyone's conscious of, and it's not, let alone being just a Cub thing. But I think in general, you know, everyone's afraid of the whole setup, the closer thing. You know, I guess bring it more to today, Tony Watson.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, that's their list. You know, again, I don't agree with a lot of it, you know, as you can tell, but that's, you know, that's where they're going. So, you know, obviously in the end, it's up to you, you know, how you feel about things. But, you know, interestingly here, Dan, I wanted to give you some credit, because I remember, God, I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, we were comparing some teams' lineups. And one of the lineups we were going through was the Yankees lineups. And I remember the one thing you were saying about how you don't trust Greg Bird, basically because the guy can't stay healthy. And sure enough, the Yankees announced today that he's having ankle surgery, and he will now miss 6 to 8 weeks. So it's another season with, you know, without Greg Bird. I mean, is this guy just unlucky, or, obviously I don't want to say soft, but I guess the term injury prone has to kind of apply here, doesn't it?
It does to a T, but, the one thing I don't like about ankle injuries is that's going to linger a lot longer than 6 to 8 weeks. And while technically you can, I guess, essentially, as I throw out all these LY words, you don't fully recover in 6 to 8 weeks. He could be walking and ready to go in 8 weeks, but that doesn't mean he's ready to run fully. You really don't get full movement out of the stuff for a full year almost. And especially with the ankle, for a guy who's going to play first base, I know Frank Thomas was more towards the tail end of his career, but remember how bad that went for Thomas after his ankle injury?
Here's Bird's career, Dan, so far. He came up in 2015. He played 46 games. He missed all of 2016 with an injury. Then in 2017, he rehabbed a little in the minors. He played 21 minor league games before he came up and played 48 games with the Yankees. How many games you got him for this year, Dan? Does he get to 50?
I would think he can at least hit 70 if they take it easy on him until after the All-Star break. But, I mean, I wouldn't even, with the ankle injury, I wouldn't even put a timetable on him. I would say 6 to 8 weeks, and he's, for me, back to training. And, I don't know the full extent of the surgery also, but I personally think 6 to 8 weeks, and he's just, going through the motions of getting back to healthy.
That Neil Walker signing becomes even bigger for the Yankees. They were originally bringing him in, to help nail down second base, but he's got a lot of experience as a first baseman. He'll probably be the guy who slides over unless they go out and get somebody. I don't know who's left. Maybe they could bring Matt Holliday back. I know he was unsigned. I'm not sure if there's anybody else out there.
Mark Reynolds.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him. That would actually be a really good signing.
Because I remember him on the board going, oh, crap, I forgot. He's not signed yet.
Yeah. So, maybe that's something they look into bring him in, get him some at-bats in the minors. But, pretty smart move, wrapping up Neil Walker there. So,
Maybe they need something we didn't. But you got to wonder if that spells an option to bring up Claybar.
Yeah, well, you got to figure once he's healthy, make sure he's good to go. Let him get some, because he really struggled in the, in spring training. So you've got to, you got to figure let him go down, get comfortable, make sure things are good. Maybe he's your, maybe he's an answer there, you can get him in your lineup and hopefully things work out. But yeah, I just thought it was, I don't even want to say interesting. But yeah, you were kind of right on. You were like, he always seems to be hurt and blah, blah, blah. And here it is, we're 3 days before the season starts and he's having surgery and he's going to be out for, 8+ weeks probably. So I guess we'll just have to see how important he is to their lineup, right? I mean, could have been interesting. So, and I do know, everybody was very curious on how this was going to go. Just so everybody knows, Tim Tebow has been assigned to Double-A.
Do you know the team name?
So,
it's pretty awesome.
I'm looking here. Bingham, double A Bingham.
Like
or
Binghamton? Some ponies or.
It was,
no,
yeah, I'm guessing it's
Bing. Go with the team name. That's what everyone wants to hear.
They don't have it listed. So it says Class Double A Binghamton. So I don't know if they're just the Binghamton Mets.
No, it's like the Pounding Ponies or something. You gotta.
Is it
Google.
Really?
Yeah, that's why I kept saying it's an awesome name. You gotta search Bing for New York Mets Double A affiliate. Because I heard it today, I was watching
Bing,
the...
I got it, brother. I binged it. The Binghamton Rumble Ponies.
There we go. Not the Pounding. Told you it was an awesome name.
Yes, they actually opened the season on April 5th against the Portland Sea Dogs.
Oh, I didn't realize that's a new team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, it could be Portland, Maine as well, so... Because, it says here that it's 3.5 hours northwest of Queens. So if any Mets fans feel like taking a ride, 3.5 hour trip, you can see Tim Tebow. But, yeah, that's kind of where you expected him, right? You expected him to start the year at Double A?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I just... just kind of where I thought.
I would have liked to see him get just one at bat against Max Scherzer though, this spring.
Yeah, another one?
Just because.
So.
Yeah, just because, ground out or single, I don't care. I would have liked to have seen him go against Scherzer again.
Yeah, just to get his stuff going. Maybe he touched the ball or something, and then we could listen to, everybody complain.
Pretty much. Take away the negative out of a positive, right?
Yeah, that's just kind of how things go. But yeah, so like I said, if you're looking for Tim Tebow, that's where you'll find him. He'll start the year off at Double A there, and. We'll see how he goes, see how it does and all the other, kind of fun stuff that goes with it. But, not too much longer, Dan. We just got, today's Monday. We got Tuesday and Wednesday to get through and then Thursday. I know you'll be happy about that, right?
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to opening day Thursday.
Yeah. Now, the Cubs open in Miami, right?
Yeah, it's a weird one.
So, and you decided not to go?
It's expensive to go to Miami, especially this time of year.
All right, well, hey, look at that. The music means it's time for Dan and I to go already. It really seems like we just got here. But, all right, you know what to do while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what goes on over there. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sporttime Radio. Now, of course, Dan and I are going to come back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. But while we're gone, I already went through that. I can't do that again. Well, no, what you can do is if you want to listen to the podcast anytime, head over to TuneIn.com and you can check it out over there whenever you want. But, as always, thanks for listening. And, I'll see you tomorrow. Dan will see you tomorrow, too.